You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Courtney Colson. This is the Alien Day Special. Alien Day is an official event promoted by Fox since 2016, which was the 30th anniversary of Aliens. They release special content on this day every year since then. But the fandom has also got in on this, and many celebrate in their own way. Fan sites run their own events and promotions, and Prometheus by Minute is no exception. Today I have decided to briefly look at the original four films. I gave some thought as to what I would focus on specifically, something that unifies each film, and I realised one of the most iconic images is the chestburster. This motif is repeated throughout each of the films, but in very different ways and contexts. Let's begin with Alien. What can be said about this scene that hasn't already been said? This may be one of the most famous scenes in cinema history. It overshadows even the adult xenomorph to a degree. This scene really did have audiences running out of the cinema in terror. I can't even imagine that. Perhaps we are desensitized now. I've seen so many horror movies in cinema, and there's barely even a peep from the audience. I would have loved to see Alien with the original 70s audience. Despite having seen many pop culture references to this scene, like Spaceballs, long before seeing Alien, this scene was not robbed of its impact. I think it's because this movie is so filled with tension and dread. You get to know Kane, you see him exploring the derelict, you get a good jump scare when the facehugger latches onto him, and then there's this waiting game. I already knew what a death sentence a facehugger was, but slowly watching the process is what makes it feel more real and terrifying. Horror isn't about the big, shocking, gory moments. Finely crafted horror is much more subtle than that. We begin with a relaxed dinner scene. The worst seems to have passed. Kane appears to be feeling better. And then he begins choking. You think maybe it's just the food, but no, he's soon writhing in agony. For some reason, Ash and Parker try to shove a spoon into his mouth. I think that's what they used to think you should do when someone is having a seizure. Not a good idea, just as an aside. Then the first bit of blood spurts out of his chest. I love how everyone freezes before getting a hold of themselves, and the chaos continues. When the chestburster finally emerges, it emits the recognizable screech, and then just looks around at everyone for a moment, and you clearly see its neck tubes are pulsating for added disgust. Then it skitters off, which I always found ruined it a bit. It looks silly. It would have been better if it slithered away on its belly like a snake, you know, something a little bit more graceful. The scene ends with Ash's curious expression. Even after all these years, it's still a difficult scene to watch. It's horrific. And it's quite short. It's about a minute between when Kane starts choking to when the chestburster runs away. It's not that long, but it feels so long and agonizing. I'm sure everyone knows the behind-the-scenes story, that none of the cast was informed of the particulars of this scene, so their reactions are genuine. The chestburster was inspired by a painting by Francis Bacon, a kind of mutant chicken-looking thing. The design originally had limbs, but it really did look like a ridiculous chicken monstrosity, so they stripped it back to a much more minimal creature we know today. I think it further serves to emphasize the sexual imagery anyway. It looks more like a kind of elaborate dildo, you know, one smooth shape. By the way, you can indeed buy a chestburster dildo if you are so inclined. I hear fans commonly wondering why the chestburster decides to exit through the chest at all. Wouldn't that be more difficult? Presumably it's gestating in the stomach anyway, so the most direct means of escape would be through the belly or even out of the mouth, which we do see in Aliens and Covenant respectively. I think they chose the chest because it is the most painful, brutal way possible. It shows just how strong this creature is even as an infant. It can smash its way through bone, holy fucking shit. If it had gnawed its way out of the abdomen, the victim could potentially be saved. They'd have a host of digestive issues for the rest of their life, but otherwise fine. Out of the mouth is pretty gross, but it's coming out of a pre-existing hole. It seems survivable, in a way. The subsequent films get creative with the concept, and we see it used in new and interesting ways. Aliens opens with a dream sequence in which Ripley imagines she has a chest burster pushing its way out of her belly. This scene always makes me uncomfortable, the way it pushes the skin up so much but never actually breaks through. I guess they went belly rather than chest because it would allow her to watch it happen to herself. You know, when it bursts out of the chest, it's as fast as a bullet. Here it's more drawn out. Cameron decided to give the chest burster arms. I really don't like any of the modifications he made to the creature designs. And it's Stan Winston who made the creatures, one of the most legendary special effects artists in the world. But I hate the lack of the translucent dome on the adult xenomorphs, and I hate the muppety arms on the chest bursters. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Giga's designs were perfection. Later, the Marines find a colonist who is still alive but stuck to a wall. She whispers, "Kill me," which is exactly what Ripley was saying in her dream. Ripley understandably finds this hard to watch, like a prophecy coming true. The Marines quickly take care of it with flamethrowers. The chestbursters play a fairly small role in Aliens, and I think it's because it's more of an action-oriented film. It's faster paced. We don't have time for the slow tension the chestburster presents. However, it is a central plot element in Alien 3, and I think it has played to great effect. Ripley knows she's infected. This is the end of her journey. And what a fitting and supremely depressing ending it is. There is the chestburster scene with a Rottweiler in the final version. In the assembly cut, it is an ox. Not sure why they changed it. The chestburster clearly resembles a dog much more than it does an ox. It is also fully formed. Not sure why they did that. The classic chestburster is able to move very quickly and grows to full size in a matter of hours. It also looks so goofy scampering off. The CGI is atrocious. Although they originally tried to make a costume for a dog to wear, that looked even worse. Despite the shortcomings of the special effects and other issues this movie has, both on screen and behind the scenes, the final 10 minutes are fantastic and a perfect resolution to this trilogy. There is a sense of release as Ripley takes her few final deep breaths. Bracing herself, she falls back into the molten pit. The music swells and her expression is one of peace. It's finally over. Now, in the theatrical cut, the Xenomorph Queen bursts out of her chest. She looks like a traditional chest burster, except with little nubby arms. Ripley grabs hold of the shrieking newborn and grips it tight. She barely reacts in pain. She has enough composure to catch the creature and keep a firm grip on it. What a badass. The assembly cut only shows Ripley throwing herself into the furnace. While still a good moment, it lacks the same impact. The film ends with Ripley's original message from the end of Alien. This character's had such a fantastic, tragic arc, and it's heartbreaking to hear her voice over an abandoned ship. A+. Resurrection shows us a room full of unconscious, unwilling test subjects who are positioned over overmorphs, or eggs, if you will. Later we see them all dead with holes in their chests, but we don't see the process itself. One man survives, Purvis, or at least for now. The chest burster is ready to be born any minute. Last thing he knew, he was in cryo heading to another planet. He doesn't understand how he got there. I think they play the chestburster plot well, or at least on paper. There are new and interesting things here. These characters now have a ticking time bomb on their hands, but they've surprisingly chosen to go for the compassionate option, and are trying to save him. I think this is a great element for tension. But how does it culminate? In perhaps one of the silliest and most melodramatic moments in the film, he's about to die and starts screaming and running towards another character, and he hulks out for some reason. He suddenly gains enormous strength and beats the man to death with his bare hands, shrieking like a maniac the whole time. The chestburster then explodes out of his chest and through the skull of the man he is holding onto. It's only then that the rest of the crew shoot him. What the actual fuck? What were they waiting for? So yes, like the rest of Resurrection, there are cool ideas and moments, but it ultimately fails. The whole movie is so campy, it robs the film of any genuine terror. It's played like vaudeville. How did Jeanne get the job? Side note, don't like any of his movies. Yes, even Amelie. Such a weird choice for an alien director too. I don't consider the Alien vs. Predator movies canon. You know, of course not. What are aliens doing on Earth in the 20th century? So I won't bother analysing them too deeply. But I do recall in the first one, the chestburster scenes were so tame. The Predators would infect humans as part of some kind of Aztec ritual sacrifice. You don't even see it happen. And then later, this blonde woman dies by chestburster, and she basically acts as if it's nothing more than acid reflux. There are a number of chestburster scenes in Requiem. It opens with a Pred alien being born. It looks like a traditional chestburster with a cute little predator mandibles. Later, a human father and son are hunting in the woods. They encounter a facehugger, and they both later die by chestburster. Again, incredibly tame. The only genuinely upsetting one was when the Pred alien lay her eggs directly down the esophagi of pregnant women. Each time this results in a cluster of 3 chest/belly bursters. That was pretty upsetting, although they repeated it, so it lost its impact. But this movie knows nothing about restraint or subtlety. The creature effects are maybe the only good thing about those movies. So, the chestburster is perhaps one of the most original and iconic concepts in the Alien franchise. There really wasn't anything like it in cinema before Alien, nor has there been something like it since. Even to this day, it's a concept that belongs solely to Alien in people's minds. It hasn't become a homogenous trope as so many things do. It is the culmination of all the sexual anxieties Alien represents. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off, and wishing you a great Alien Day. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.